So we are now going to listen to Iulia Daholti. So she's originally from Romania, and then she went to the UK to do her PhD with Judith Monk at UCL. She then moved, she followed Judith Monk when she moved to Vancouver, and she did a postdoc at the University of British Columbia with Judith. She has worked on a few plants, but mostly fish, and I look forward to hear about her work. Thank you.
Thanks. First of all, I want to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to share with you today some of the work that I've been doing during my time in Judith's lab, looking at sex chromosome evolution across different psyllid species. So we've already heard a great introduction earlier today about this system, but just to briefly reiterate, psyllids are freshwater life-bearing fish that are distributed across temperate and tropical regions. Within the clade, there is a diversity of sex chromosome systems. So there's unisexuality, male and female heterogamity, as well as polygenic sex determining systems. So psyllids reflect very well the diversity of sex determining systems that we observe more broadly across teleost fish. Many psyllids also have sexually antagonistic traits that relate to things such as color patterns and fin shape and size. And some of these traits are thought to be sex-linked or at least controlled by genes on the sex chromosomes. So because of all these aspects, psyllids are a very attractive model for studying the evolution of sex chromosome systems. The common guppy, Psyllia reticulata here, has received a lot of attention in particular. A previous linkage mapping analysis has shown that chromosome 12 is the sex chromosome pair in this genome. And us and many other people have shown that there is a high degree of sequence homology between the X and the Y, which led to the idea that the guppy sex chromosomes are relatively young. They've evolved quite recently. So we were interested in testing whether this guppy XY system is shared by any other species in the clade, or whether different species have evolved different sex chromosome systems independently. And we also wanted to test for the extent of interspecific variation in sex chromosome differentiation patterns. So to do that, in addition to reticulata, we also looked at the Endler's guppy, or Psyllia wingii, Psyllia picta, also known as the swamp guppy, as well as two more distantly related species, Psyllia latipina and Gambusia. Reticulata and wingii are sister species. They diverged about 3 or 4 million years ago. Some previous cytogenetics work led by Manfred Scharl's group has shown that the wingii Y chromosome has accumulated this large heterochromatin block, making the Y chromosome the largest chromosome in the entire genome. So we had some expectation that the wingii sex chromosomes would show a slightly more differentiated pattern than what we see in reticulata. For the other species, we had an indication of the sex chromosome type from previous work, but we didn't really know much about the structure or degree of heteromorphism for these systems. So we had both DNA and RNA-seq data from multiple males and females from each of these species. And when we started, we first encountered a challenge in that, with the exception of reticulata, none of these other species had assembled reference genomes. And so we had to assemble their genomes, but also find a way to order and orient the scaffolds without introducing bias due to increasing phylogenetic distance to the reticulata reference. So we decided to use this reference-assisted chromosome assembly pipeline, or RACA for short, which uses both a reference genome and an outgroup genome to order and orient target scaffolds, which minimizes this bias coming from different degrees of phylogenetic similarity, because regardless of your target genome, the distance to the reference and the outgroup genomes is always the same. In addition, RACA uses paired-end read mapping information from the target species to further link chromosome fragments together and improve the contiguity of the assembly. So we use this approach to assemble female-specific genome assemblies for each of the species. And we then identified the sex chromosomes and analyzed patterns of sex chromosome differentiation by using this approach where we mapped DNA seq reads from males and females to the female assembly and compared coverage and SNP-Nsp differences between the sexes. This was initially developed by Beatrice Picoso and Doris Backtrog, and is a method that has since been widely used in all sorts of studies of sex chromosome evolution. And the expectation is that for regions of the sex chromosomes that have stopped recombining more recently, we would expect to see an equal male and female coverage. However, we might see an accumulation of male-specific SNPs as the Y chromosome accumulates these male-specific mutations. In contrast, for regions of the sex chromosomes that have stopped recombining for longer periods of time, we would expect to see a decrease in male coverage because the Y chromosome has degenerated. So using this approach, Allison Wright initially found, and later other groups have confirmed, the presence of a very small region at the end of the reticulata sex chromosomes showing a reduced male coverage. And this matches very well the predicted location of the sex-determining region in the system. Allison also found this larger region that looked like it had recombination suppression because of there was an increase in male SNP density. However, there was no difference in coverage between males and females in that region, so this shows that the reticulata sex chromosomes are largely homomorphic. We next looked at Bacillia wingii, and unsurprisingly, given how closely related reticulata and wingii are, we see that chromosome 12 is also a sex chromosome here. So we recovered the same region with a reduced male coverage in males, but the pattern of male bias SNP density seems to be expanded or more pronounced now, spanning throughout almost the entire length of the sex chromosome. This region here that shows a reduced male coverage in both species is what we initially labeled as like a first stratum of divergence between the sex chromosomes. We wanted to test whether recombination suppression has evolved before these two species split. So to do that, we raised families from both reticulata and wingii, and we did RNA sequencing on the parents and multiple males and females from each cross. And we used this data with the sex detector pipeline that Aline Muriel developed, which analyzes SNP segregation patterns to distinguish between autosomal SNPs, segregating sites, sex-linked sites, as well as X-hemizygous sites. So what I'm showing here is each dot represents a different identified sex-linked site across physical position on the sex chromosome in these two species. What we notice first is that these sex-linked sites are distributed throughout almost the entire length of the chromosome, exception being these two small regions at either end of the chromosome, which we think are pseudo-autosomal regions and match with what others have predicted to be the pseudo-autosomal regions. We also noticed that wingii has a lot more of these sex-linked sites. So again, consistent with our expectation that the wingii sex chromosomes would be more differentiated. We next looked at X and Y gametologues that were orthologous between these two species. And together with some outgroup sequences, we built phylogenetic trees for each gene. We wanted to use this to test for ancestral recombination suppression. So if recombination suppression has occurred ancestrally, we would expect gametologues to cluster by chromosome types of the two X chromosomes separate from the Y chromosomes. Alternatively, if recombination suppression is more recent, or if there hasn't been enough time for complete lineage sorting, then we would expect the X and Y sequences to cluster by species. What we found were four genes that showed this ancestral recombination suppression pattern, and they were all four located in this tail end region of the chromosome. It's true that the bootstrap support for any one of these genes individually was not very strong, but their location turned out to be actually very telling. Because a previous postdoc in the group, Pedro Almeida, so he did some 10x link read sequencing on multiple males and females from different wild reticulata populations. He redid the coverage analysis and saw, again, a decrease in male coverage in this tail end region, but this was more restricted within two regions, so between 20 and 22 megabases and between 25 and 26. In these two regions exactly is where he found an accumulation of male-specific SNPs. So these are SNPs that are present in either all of the males that he looked at in red or different proportions of the males in orange and blue. And in these two regions, again, he found Y sequences clustering separately from X sequences. So taken all together, this data suggests that recombination suppression in this stratum 1 region is completely suppressed, and that it has evolved prior to the species split. What about the other species? We next looked at the Cilia picta, and here we see a very different pattern. We see that coverage in males is actually reduced to almost half of the coverage in females for almost the entire length of the chromosome, again, exception being a small region at the end of the chromosome, which we think is a pseudautosomal region. This coverage pattern is only consistent with large-scale Y degeneration, and we, in line with this, we also see a decrease in male-specific SNPs. And what's really interesting is that chromosome 12 is also a sex chromosome here, so it looks like this system shows a full range of sex chromosome differentiation, with reticulata being largely undifferentiated, Wang-Yi showing slightly more a signal of more differentiated structure, and then picta being extremely heteromorphic. And picta is actually not the only one that's showing this pattern. So I worked together with some colleagues in the lab to look at Basilia parae, which is over here. It's a sister species to Basilia picta, and they're both part of this Microbasilia subgenus. Basilia parae is very interesting in that it has five different male morphs that differ in color and mating behavior and physiology, and it's all Y-linked. And what Ben found was, using 10x link-read sequencing, he did a coverage analysis. He renamed the chromosomes a bit differently, so he used a Zyvophorus naming, but chromosome 8 in Zyvophorus is syntonic to reticulata, chromosome 12, which is the sex chromosome. The orientation is also flipped in Zyvophorus, that's why the pattern is reversed, but when you compare picta and parae, male to female coverage, you see the same pattern. So the XY divergence that we see is ancestral to these two species. So far, there could be multiple explanations for what is happening with this XY system, but I think one of the more parsimonious ones would be that the XY system evolved ancestrally to reticulata, Wang-Yi, and the Microfossilia group, so dating back to about 20 million years ago. It's likely not much older than that, because when we looked at some of the outgroup species, Basilia tipina and Gambusia, we don't recover any of the expected patterns of a sex chromosome here for chromosome 12. So these species have likely evolved different sex chromosome systems on other chromosomes in the genome. We were very intrigued by the picta and parae degeneration, so we next looked at RNA-seq data. And we found this, and this is data from picta, that only about 25% of the sex-linked genes in males have SNPs, so they're heterozygous, compared to the genomic average, which is about 70%, and also the female average for sex-linked genes is similar to 60%. So this is consistent with large-scale X-hemizygosity in picta. We next estimated allele-specific expression patterns for those genes that still had SNPs. This is showing allele expression ratio for sites on the sex chromosomes in yellow and sites on the autosomes in gray. And we see that for both reticulata and Wang-Yi, X and Y alleles are expressed more or less to the same degree, as shown by this peak of the distribution close to 0.5. In picta, however, we see this massive shift in the distribution for sex-linked sites, which is only consistent with Y alleles being largely transcriptionally inactive. And yet, despite of that, males in picta males are able to express their single copy of the X chromosome at the same level as females express their two X copies and a similar autosomal average autosomal gene expression levels. So this shows that picta has evolved a functional chromosome-wide dosage compensation mechanism that seems to be acting through the upregulation of the single copy of the X chromosome. And this was very exciting because it was the first case, documented case of a chromosome-wide dosage compensation in fish. Generally, fish have incomplete or gene-by-gene level dosage compensation. And it leads to all sorts of questions about how does this mechanism work and why did it evolve when other species are able to do just fine with incomplete dosage compensation. And PICTA is not the only one that has that. We also see this in PARE. So this is Dave Metzger, another postdoc in the group. And he did a similar analysis showing here on the left the allele expression ratio for sex chromosome sites in females in gray and in three of the male morphs in the color plots. And again, he sees this shift in the distribution of the allele expression ratio, but with no reduction in overall gene expression for the X chromosome in males. So dosage compensation seems to be also ancestral to this microcilia group. And the last thing I want to talk about is that we also looked at rates of coding sequence evolution for genes on the X chromosome and genes on the autosomes. And we see a signal of fast X evolution for just Bacillia picta and Bacillia parae only. And this is due to both a higher rate of non-synonymous substitutions on the X and the high rate of synonymous substitutions. We don't see this pattern in reticulata or wingii, and in fact, we don't see it anywhere else in the tree, not even in the ancestral branches, in the internal branches of the tree, which suggests that there is an association between a fast X signal and sex chromosome heteromorphism and X hemizygosity. We also found a deficit of non-synonymous polymorphisms on the X in both PICTA and PARE that we didn't see in any of the other species, which suggests that there is strong purifying selection acting to potentially remove deleterious mutations because of this large scale of X hemizygosity that we see in this system. So just to summarize everything, we see that the reticulata XY system is shared with its sister species, Bacillia wingii, but also potentially with the more distantly related species, Bacillia picta and PARE, and so dating back to about 20 million years ago. While reticulata and wingii show very little sequence differentiation, we see that picta and PARE have extreme differentiation, the evolution of chromosome-wide dosage compensation, as well as a signal of faster X evolution, which we think is at least in part driven by this hemizygosity of X-linked genes. So with that, I just want to thank my supervisor, Judith, and everyone in the lab that helped with this study, in particular Allison Wright. I'm very grateful for my funding. And I also need to give a shout out to Clara Lacey and Jocelyn Shu, who did amazing illustrations for us. Clara did all of the pretty fish illustrations that I showed throughout my talk. And Jocelyn did a lot of graphics that explain concept biological processes very effectively. So yeah, if you're interested in doing some illustrations, they are both, I think, taking commissions. And thank you all for listening.